freaking out of.
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more scream.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehr has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk. Should we sing today? Just sing everything? We're on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
It's going to be 80 degrees today, and it's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I like it. We can make it like a rock opera here.
You've opened
like Hamilton.
You've opened Pandora's box, and by Pandora, I mean Howdy's box. And it's just going to be singing.
Well, Pandora's the streaming service all about music, so that makes perfect sense. It's
perfect.
Pandora's box.
Oh, good one.
Hey, what's going on? We're singing here today. I'm Brock and Salk. How you doing? Hope you're having a great morning. Mariners finished their road trip 4-3. Brock, could have been 6-1.
Yep.
That's how good. That's how well they played at times on this road trip. They really could have very easily been a 6-1 road trip. And if Juan Nicasio doesn't blow a couple of games, it's a 6-1 trip.
Yep.
And you're like, you're coming off that, losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels, 6-1 on the road. You're right there. You're in first place. I mean, it really would have been spectacular. As it is, hard to really find fault with the way they played on this trip, other than, as you said, a couple of bad outings from their eighth inning guy, who, by the way, doesn't look like he's the eighth inning guy anymore.
No, well, we're 40 games in now, so we are officially at the quarter pole. These guys came home late last night. That was a game that, frankly, no one was there. The weather was horrible. There's a rain delay. You lead off 3 different innings with doubles. You don't even advance any of those guys home, nor 2 out of 3 even to third base. And you're like, oh, gosh. You're wasting, and how many times have we have to say this?
You're wasting another Wade LeBlanc start. You got your ace.
You're wasting a Wade LeBlanc start.
When LeBlanc is out there dealing.
The 2-2 to Buxton. There's a swing and a foul tip into the glove of Zunino. There's strike 3. The third strikeout for Wade LeBlanc. He's been tremendous tonight here in Minnesota. That's it for the Twins in the bottom of the 5th. No runs, a hit. Only the second off of LeBlanc.
Yeah, when LeBlanc is dealing the way you expect him to at this point, Brock.
Filthy.
He's not filthy. You can't say that.
High
I was talking
energy,
to Lydia
dude.
About this earlier.
Ridiculous energy. I don't know if you caught him post-game or not, but my gosh.
Uh-huh.
That guy just bubbles over with emotion.
I was talking to Lydia earlier saying you can't call him dominant. That's not fair. Like James Paxton last week, dominant. Wade LeBlanc, if you got to watch yesterday's game, the best you can say is dazzling. He was dazzling. He dazzled them for 6 innings of shutout baseball. He was tremendous. He wasn't dominant. He wasn't overpowering, right? He was just sort of dazzling, and give him credit for that and give the Mariners credit for finding a way when their bats were quiet to scratch out a run.
Here's the pitch. Ansegur lays down the bunt. Back to the mound. Taken by Morrison. No play at third. Wide throw to first. Gets on by Dozier. Down the right field line. Gordon will score. Up with the ball is Kepler. The throw to second. Segura slides, and he is safe at second base. Holy smokes, a throwing error by first baseman Logan Morrison. D. Gordon will score all the way from second on the throwing error. The Mariners have a 1-0 lead, and Segura winds up on its second base. How about that?
All right, so question for you, Brock, before I play you my favorite 30 seconds of the day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I will play that for you here in just a moment. My favorite 35 seconds or so of the day yesterday. Okay. I'll play that in a sec. Right. When an ex-Mariner beats your team, it's really aggravating, right? If Justin Smoak had hit a key home run or had broken up the Paxton no-no the other day, it would have been just infuriating.
Chris Taylor,
right?
Carries the Dodgers
exactly.
To a World Series, yeah.
Do you, if that is true, do you take a special form of pleasure in watching Logan Morrison blow the game for his team yesterday?
I think Lomo's been on 3 different teams since he was here.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, he's played on 17 major league teams. I don't know if he's a perfect example.
But when you watch an ex-Mariner blow it against the Mariners,
you got to chuckle.
Right?
Yeah,
like, you get a little
chuckle.
Extra spring in your step.
What's
over
up,
that,
Lomo?
Right?
Lomo, why don't you break another bat on your face? kind of want one of those. Yeah.
You remember when the Mariners had him leading off? That was a terrible idea. So, anyway, I thought That's just another nice, yes. Nice thing that occurred yesterday. But can I play you my favorite 30 seconds or so of the day?
Sure.
All right.
It's better than my favorite 30 seconds, and I owe the Cle Elum golf coach an apology.
Oh,
I've
no.
got to give it at some point today. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to do it right now. Probably not listening, nor his high school player that he thinks is going to win state that I was talking some smack to. But at some point.
You're talking smack in the golf course.
At some point, I'm going
to. Teenage kid.
Oh, that's great.
I didn't know.
That's good for you.
And trust me, hitting it 330 yards or whatever he did, you wouldn't think he was in high school either. So I will apologize to those
guys.
Can
I play you my favorite 30 seconds of the day now?
Yes.
All right, here you go. This was post-game. Jim Mueller on Root Sports interviewing D. Gordon immediately after the game, when he gave what I think should be held up somewhere in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown as the absolute perfect baseball player post-game interview.
I wasn't locked in all day, man. I had to lock it in for the guys and put a good at-bat together. I was able to get a good pitch to hit and got in scoring position. But it all starts with Segura doing his job, and that's how we got this win.
He gets the ball in play. How are you reading that play?
Honestly, if the third baseman would have crashed as hard as he did the first time, I was just going to steal the base. And he actually paid attention to me the second time. So, you know, it's just, we got it done. But, you know, we need to talk about Wade LeBlanc and how great he was. He was awesome for us. You know, he pitched his behind off for us. And, you know, we was able to keep us close until we can get an A.
That was my favorite interview I've heard in a while.
Pretty good.
There's like three things I love about it.
The teaching tee.
Right? How come you're not using your deep baritone?
We call that teaching tape.
Send that to Tacoma. That is a teaching tape interview.
I don't think listeners of the show are going to particularly care for new singing Brock and Salk. I don't know whether everybody's going to like Brock and Salk, the rock opera or not.
Howdy just gave me a disgusting look. Why'd you do that, Howdy?
You guys are so weird.
Just trying to take a risk, bro. And you just shame me.
Some days we just feel like singing, Howdy. I don't know why you gotta crush our dreams and spirits back there. Three things I love about him. Obviously, you mentioned Segura at the beginning, which is great. He actually tells you and gives you some insight into the game. And by the way, good question by Jen. Give her credit. That's a really good question, asking what his read is on that play. And he goes ahead and tells you, yeah, actually, if that third baseman comes crashing again, I'm just going to steal the bag, which is sweet. Now all of a sudden he's on third with nobody out, and your options are even more open to you. But the guy doesn't crash. He pays attention to him. Segura lays down a bunt. He gives him credit. And then in the middle of talking about how good the game is, he just effortlessly puts the focus away from himself, away from everything he did in the game, and puts it squarely on his teammate Wade LeBlanc. Everything about that interview to me is perfect. And it shows in some ways why he is such a great signing for this team.
Yep.
Yes, it's hitting the double there and getting on base. Yes, it's being fast enough to have been able to steal third if he needed to, or to come all the way home and pressurize the opponent. But it's also everything he does in this clubhouse and the way he handles his business. Incredibly important.
Yeah, I mean, as remarkable as Nelson Cruz has been for the last 4 years, and I think we have argued on this show at times, he may be the best free agent signing the Mariners have ever made for just a totally unrestricted free agent that you brought in here. I mean, D. Gordon after 40 games has got to be one of the most pleasant surprises. I think we all believed he was a good player. I don't know if we thought he'd come over here and hit 300-plus and do all of this. I knew he'd be able to run. How could he transition to center field? Mike, to me, this is just all an incredible added bonus that he is so many of these things from a personality standpoint, a selflessness, you know, standpoint, and then obviously the energy, even on a night that was, I mean, just horrible.
You have to generate your own energy last night. That's the thing. You know, you play in some of these stadiums that are rocked out with 35, 50,000 people, and it's easy to get up for those games. You've got to find a way to be your own energizer bunny on a night where there's seven people in Minnesota in the freezing cold and rain,
correct,
and you've been delayed.
Correct.
And give them credit. They absolutely did. And that's where D. Gordon and Ryan Healy and some of these guys we've mentioned come in handy. Another guy who battled last night is James Pazos, who had food poisoning, went out there and threw a tremendous seventh inning, and according to Scott Servais, that may be some of the new normal.
James Pazos has earned the right to start pitching, you know, in the back end. He's been one of our most dominant guys. He's found something in his delivery, and he's going right after him with the fastball, and the fastball's got a lot of life. But more importantly, I like how he's wired, and tonight, gives us the effort he did, you know, says a lot about him, and you know, we're going to need him.
Yeah, he does that with food poisoning. Servais said he went right back into the bathroom after the seventh inning. That's how he was feeling. And you may have a new little seventh and eighth combo with Pazos in the seventh and Nick Vincent in the eighth.
Well, I
don't see Nicasio pitching there in the high leverage spot.
No,
for a little
and
while.
I asked you the other day. I mean, just as far as pure stuff goes, Nicasio have the kind of stuff that you need, and you know, from what we have seen. A, it's been wildly inconsistent, but B, Pazos is a guy that can hump it up there 97.
Yeah.
Right? He's one of those arms that you get used to seeing other teams have. And yeah, to gut it out, man, that's what this team story has been. This entire month of May has been a win, loss, win, loss, win, loss for the last 14 days. In a 4-3 road trip, you'll take that anytime in this league.
Yeah, a text message here says, please, goodness, no on the rock opera. Well, then I don't think you're going to like this very much. It's 7:10 time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know.
Dude,
up first.
Howdy is nodding approval at you.
I know, Kyle's unaffected, not even listening.
Nope.
Go figure.
You don't care.
All right, first thing you need to know is that Wade LeBlanc was the new Mariner. A 6 shutout innings last night, powering the Mariners to a 1-0 win, a 1-game makeup stop in Minnesota. Tied entering the 8th inning, D. Gordon doubled, then scored on a throwing error on a Gene Segura sacrifice bunt. Thanks a lot, Logan Morrison. Always appreciate the help. I'll throw in a little credit to a couple other guys who deserve it. We mentioned James Pazos, who pitched a perfect 7th. But the guy that also needs a little bit here is Edwin Diaz. I don't know that Edwin Diaz could have done last year what he did yesterday. Came out and immediately threw 2 balls, looked like he didn't have his command. I uh-oh'd right away, like, it's bad Paxton or bad Diaz tonight. And immediately he got the control and the command back and struck out the next couple. He was dominant.
Yep.
And I don't know that he could have done that last year. Once his shoulder would fly out and he didn't have that location release point, he seemed unable to regain his composure a year ago. Last night, exactly the opposite. I hope that's a good sign of things.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And just finding unique and different ways to win, especially out on the road. I mean, this team is 6 games above 500 out on the road. Now they get a lot of home cooking. They're home for basically the rest of the month, save for 3 games. And the schedule's been brutal. Yes, the weather's been horrible. Yes, there have been rain delays and issues and all sorts of things for this team to overcome. But you know what they've done? They've overcome it on the road. Now come home and take advantage of a lot of home cooking and a bad Rangers team coming into town tonight.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, a couple of Mariner notes in here. Robinson Cano officially placed on the 10-day DL yesterday. He will see his hand specialist in Philadelphia today. In his place, Gordon Beckham, recalled from Tacoma, played last night, actually made a heck of a play to end the 8th inning. James Paxton, also named co-AL Player of the Week, probably unsurprising given how dominant he was. He shares the award with Francisco Lindor. I think the most important Mariner note, though, is what you may now see in the 7th and 8th inning. I mean, in a big spot yesterday, a 1-0 game, they went Pazos in the 7th and then Vincent in the 8th.
Yeah.
And Juan Nicasio sat in the bullpen and had to watch this. Now, that doesn't mean it'll be that way forever. I think ultimately they want to use Nicasio in big spots. But whatever they've got to do to get him right, I think, is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, and I think the utmost importance here with Robbie Cano, that you're going to continue to take care of him. You're going to make the right decisions. You cannot rush him back. I know that there is not a whole lot of margin. Had a good debate yesterday with all of you and with Boy Howdy as well, that, you know, there's not, for this team, especially with the Angels and the Astros as hot as they are, man, there is not a large margin for error. But you do the right thing with Robbie. He's got 5 more years on this deal. He is an older player. He will see that specialist today. They will figure out, I'm going to guess, whether they've got to put a plate in there, whether there's surgery required. That's probably the difference between 4 weeks and 8 weeks. But get Robbie Cano right and get him back in the middle of this lineup.
I can't wait to read you these texts about singing.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
There's a lot of them. Legalize.
Sing the text?
No,
sing
thanks.
Sing the text about singing.
Legalized sports betting is unlikely to come to Washington anytime in the next few years, even though Supreme Court of the United States voted yesterday 6-3 to end the prohibition on gambling nationally. Washington has what's considered conservative gaming laws now. The state legislature couldn't even begin looking at the issue until 2019 at the earliest. But we will see major changes, I think, to all the major sports we'll be discussing throughout the day today.
Yeah, and as far as the NBA and the NHL playoffs, something that I was deeply interested in last night and watched a whole lot of ball, Golden State went down to Houston. Remember, Houston, the number one seed in the Western Conference by a long stretch this year. Golden State went down and said, we are the defending champs. Got that home court right back with a win in the opener. And the Golden Knights evened up their series with Winnipeg 1-1.
All right, there's 3 things you need to know. Every single day at 7:10, please stop singing. Are you trying to compare the show to Hamilton? Rock opera, maybe. But Hamilton, aiming a little off there, Brock. I think I would agree with that one.
Hamilton.
I'm turning off the app because of the singing.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Who said Hamilton?
Wasn't that you?
Who tried to do Hamilton?
It wasn't me.
I just tried to do a low
base. Who said
base.
Hamilton?
I didn't say Hamilton.
I thought somebody did.
No,
it wasn't me.
Not me.
That I can assure
wasn't
you.
Wasn't me, Shaggy.
Let's see. You were flooded with not your best show texts yesterday, and you chose to follow that up with the rock opera approach? That's exactly what we did. My kids have been... Oh,
John Clayton's right. Morning Drive.
I got cut off.
Rock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning,
how
guys.
Are you?
Good. How are you?
Do you like to sing ever? You sing
no.
in the shower?
No.
Never.
You sing in the shower?
No.
In the car? Listen to a little funk?
No.
There's huh? nothing that
Not
makes you sing.
In that new hip hop van you got? Nothing?
No.
All right. Come
we're
on.
Singing today. Somebody Uh-oh. Here says we're having a Brock opera. Exactly right. It's Brock Opera Day here on the Brock and Salk Show. What can we
I'm
tell
still,
you?
I was still fearful when we had our boy Howdy starting to do his karaoke stuff.
But he can actually sing. It's much more fun with me and Brock because we can't. John, how the big news, of course, yesterday is what's going to go on with gambling here across the country. A lot more sports gambling will be legalized nearly immediately. What will the NFL do to deal with this?
Well, the first thing they did is they came out with a statement saying that they're going to go to Congress and try to see if they can get at least some legislation to at least make it so that it's a little safer, or just making sure that there's some control over it. And it's not like they're eventually they'll embrace it because it's going to make so much
it's
more money.
It's going to say, when you say safer and control over it, you mean ensure that they make money, right?
Eventually, yeah.
Right.
I'm sure they
because that's all they care about.
Well, they do care about the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
Remember, they're the ones who brought the lawsuit against New Jersey. So it's like, they're the ones that have fought it and aren't going to be embracing it like the NBA, like baseball. But ultimately, I mean, we just saw the sale of a team in Carolina that probably would be even more had this been done sometime later, once they get all the legislation in. But they've already made a statement. They're going to go to Congress, try to see what rules can be put in there so that they at least feel that they have the integrity of the game under control.
I mean, $2.2 billion is an awful lot of money, but it's only, about a million more than the L.A. Clippers were bought for by Mr. Ballmer. Houston Rockets, about $2.1 billion as well. Were you a little surprised at that number that David Tepper bought the Carolina Panthers for $2.2 billion?
Well, they were hoping to get $2.6.
Yes.
And so they did not get that. But I think what they did is that they had already vetted Tepper because he had been with the Steelers. He has a 5% ownership in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so I think that they embraced him. I think they had some concerns about the South Carolina businessman that was doing it. But what they liked about Tepper, he's a hedge fund guy, $11 billion.
They love that about him?
What's that?
They love that he's a hedge fund guy. Generally, I've always heard that these leagues don't like hedge fund guys.
When they've got 11 bill, though.
Yeah, but it's 11 billion, plus they had already approved him to be a minority owner. So they know him to some degree, and there seems to be a comfort level with him. But
so why didn't it escalate? Why was it 2.2 and not 2.6, or even the 3 billion that was originally thought they may get?
I think just you look at the stadium and all that stuff. I mean, it's a good market right now. He's at least saying that he's going to keep everything in Charlotte, and I just think that there was more of a comfort level with him, and they just didn't want to get too greedy on this deal.
Was there a possibility that somebody else would move them out of Charlotte?
And there's always that possibility, sure. It's a good market. That's a good city, and there's enough money right there to be able to keep it. But I think what they're looking at is the stadium's a little bit older, and eventually something has to be done with the stadium. That's why there was concern about somebody coming in Crazy. And taking the team away.
So amazing. I still think of them as an expansion team.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
One of the most recent, and to think of them having an outdated stadium is kind of hard to imagine, even though I'm sure it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning settled out of court yesterday in his memorabilia fraud case. So what do we think?
Smart on his part, because again, even when he got on the stand, you can see some embarrassing things coming out, because just the words talking about, hey, why don't you get me because I guess one of the texts he had was like, get me two helmets that look like they're game worn, and that he says, no, I wanted two helmets that were game worn, but the way the text came out, I mean, you can see that it made the question, it's like, hey, get me two fake helmets. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately I think this thing was better to settle out of court, because I think it was embarrassing for Eli. How that settlement goes, we don't know yet, but I think this was the wise thing to do.
Well, clearly it is. What will this do to his legacy, if at all?
I don't think it affects it one bit.
Amazing.
No, not one bit. I mean, because again, we won't know if we're going to get more details of what really did happen. But again, his legacy is the fact that he just doesn't miss games.
What do you think that settled? What do you think that settled for?
I have no idea.
A million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million. I mean, obviously, if they thought they were going to take this all the way through the process, that it wouldn't get to this point, that these guys would back down at some point, or they would out-litigate them. But, you know, kudos to the memorabilia guys to fight it all the way through and ultimately settle.
Well, because you can see that they lost some good money on that deal.
Yeah. Hey, the Raiders moving to Vegas now, looking back with the news yesterday. Do you think that Raiders move to Vegas was one of the first little tells in this process that that the whole gambling and the whole gaming industry was going to find a way into these professional leagues?
You would think so. Yeah, because I think that and you can see, you know, how the leadership changed both in the league as far as that goes, because, you know, Jerry Jones got very actively involved in trying to sell owners on the idea of having the team in Vegas. I mean, he worked very hard to swing some owners. And so I think that, you know, what you're looking at is, you know, the Jerry Joneses, the Bob Crafts, and those, you know, they kind of changed some of the old school ideas from the owners in this league. And so, yeah, I think that was the first move, because now you can see the Vegas team. Now you wonder, with now Vegas having to compete against how many other states, how that's going to affect them. But I still think that, no, I think the Vegas move was the first sign that, you know, the NFL eventually was going to embrace legalized gambling.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
If you were trapped in an escape room and you could only pick two current NFL players to get out of it with you, who would you choose?
Okay, so I guess the first one, I need somebody with good hands, so maybe I would take Antonio Brown, because he can come in there and try to see how he can manipulate to get out of this room. And then I guess the second one, I need some big bodyguard to be able to make sure I'm not going to have any problems. And that's why I probably go with the Indomitant Suit.
That's not what an escape room is, unfortunately.
Oh, what is an escape room?
An escape room is like a series of puzzles you have to solve in order to get yourself out of this
room. I'm not
room.
Doing Indomitant Suit. So it's
like, I think you gotta try again.
Yeah, I think I got to try again. So,
John, you should try one of these. I think you would
They're
enjoy
fun.
It.
Yeah, you would, actually. It's a lot of word puzzles.
Where do you find
there's one on Capitol Hill. There's one in Belltown.
Clearly, you pick Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? You got to go with any
Harvard guy.
Yeah, you got to go any.
I don't know. Not with the last negotiation that he did with the Jets. I mean, that one was pretty bad. He got to end up getting a 1-year deal. Who do you go with? The smartest guys in the room? I mean, you first off, you want somebody
to have good teamwork, though. That's important.
Yeah, that's
good
true.
Teamwork's really important in these things.
Yeah, so
you got to have smart and good teamwork.
Yeah, so you need probably a quarterback who can visualize very well.
Okay,
so probably you would have to go with Tom Brady on that.
Smart.
I mean, so that's good. And then, you know, I guess somebody who can read things quickly and all that. So maybe a Doug Baldwin.
Luke
huh?
How about Luke
Doug
Keekly?
Baldwin? Interesting. Yeah. I go Brady and Baldwin. I'd roll with that crew in an escape room and see what happens.
I think Baldwin's going to get real frustrated if things
don't
start working out.
That's true. No, if you take too long in a puzzle, John, he might get angry.
Yeah, angry Doug would not do well if that's he doesn't get out of the
problem. Okay, legit question. You said you don't sing in the shower, the car, or anything else. If we all went to a karaoke, right, me and Lydia, Saul, Cowdy, Kyle, we just came and picked you up, and we're doing karaoke day, and you have to pick a song and sing. Like, you just have to do it. You just can't do a hard pass. You got to get up there and do it. What song are you picking?
We would definitely take some James Brown.
You definitely do some James Brown. Okay, all right.
And then, you know, we'll see about, you know, maybe some Commodores or something like that.
Oh, that would be good. I'd like to hear you do the Commodores. Yeah. I would pay money to actually.
Be a brick house.
That. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Whoa, okay.
John, thank you. We'll talk to you later. There you go. John Clayton with us every day at 7:15. His show will get underway, of course, at 10 o'clock. I'm sorry about the singing. I don't know what's going on.
What happened?
I don't know. My kids have been...
Uh-huh.
My kids have been listening to Cats.
Well, he also did a soft point at me. So
true.
I did?
I mean, yeah, and it's probably because you've got kind of jazz
hands. It's
because
I was getting ready to give you the big point. Like, hey, we're here. It's opera. It's the theater. I don't know. Cats is terrible. My kids have been listening to it nonstop. That thing ran on Broadway for like 100 years.
Mm.
It's awful. Mm. I don't understand. Like, Andrew Lloyd Webber is not generally that bad. I mean, Phantom of the Opera and everything else he did. That's terrible. I don't understand. Very confusing. All right. You can always listen to our show if we haven't forced you to turn it off yet on the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Coming up next, everything you actually need to know about sports betting and where it's coming and who it'll affect and how. Next on Brock and Salk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Then he bombed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet. And his face lost all expression. Said, if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up.
Lydia, you're going to be involved in this.
Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money.
Ever.
When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting.
Oh, one of the greats.
When the dealing's done.
Perfect segue from our inability to sing right into legalized gambling across America today.
Felt pretty good about that until Hunter the Punter Smith, who can sing, has got his own band. He's now a Christian rocker out in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah, he had a whole studio set up during 2 days out there in Terre Haute at Rose Holman Institute. He's like, hey, I want to come and jam a little bit. Of course I do. He's like, what song do you think you can sing well? He had like a tuner, right? So like you could play the song and you could see how you did and matched up on all the notes. Horrible.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, that's the only one I thought I could decently sing and carry. No, not even close at all.
Not even close.
That was a zero.
All right, so the news comes out yesterday. Let's try to figure out exactly what this is going to mean for everybody's life. And around here, it may not mean that much for a while. So the Supreme Court strikes down the law that made sports betting illegal across the country everywhere except for Vegas. And what they're saying is that now each of the states can pass their own laws. So Vegas is already, nothing's going to change there.
Nope.
New Jersey and a couple of other states, it started with a big
West Virginia and Mississippi. They are ramped up. There's about four of them. I've crowdsourced this sucker.
Yep.
Okay. I was doing a lot of crowdsourcing, a lot of listening and reading.
And in those states, things will change quickly. What I don't know is whether the internet will allow you, like if they are allowing sports betting via the internet in those states, can you then in Washington gamble?
I don't think so. I think what they do is they have these blackout areas where you go there like you do in Vegas and you've got to go to the casino, you get the app, and then you know you can do it in Greater Vegas, and then it's not going to be viable outside of their boundaries.
Regardless, there will now be more sports.
That's how I almost looked into getting a P.O. box in Oregon to skirt around these rules. Yeah, you can't do that, Mike. Take my word for it.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for the heads up. So what happens now, okay? The leagues are scrambling right off the bat. And you heard it from Clayton there. The NFL is going to be lobbying Congress. I'm sure that the other leagues are as well. And the goal, they'll tell you it's to make sure that everything is kosher and on the up and up. But in the meantime, the real goal, I think, will be to make darn sure that they get a cut of the action.
Absolutely.
They want to get rich.
And by the way, I think we've learned enough. I hope we have learned enough on this show through all these different political stories and movements. Mike, they're not scrambling. Okay, they have done their work. They know. They knew this months and months and months in advance, if not years in advance, and they've had feet on the ground. They've already been lobbying. They've already worked through this process so much. So I understand where you're coming from. Yesterday, it hit the news officially. It became all
they've
very
already been
real.
Working on this.
They've all been working very hard. Very, very hard at the NFL level, at all the pro levels. Adam Silver's been out front of this thing, I think, as much as anybody. Major League Baseball, too, in their commissioner. They all want their,
NFL is going to pretend
they want
like they don't want any part of this, and then they're going to come in the back door and make a ton of money. Joe Fortenbaugh used to cover gambling sports in Vegas and now works at 95.7 in San Francisco. Was on yesterday with Bob Gross and Tom and explained what's going to happen next.
What you're going to see from Congress is heavy lobbying on behalf of the professional sports entities. So the NFL, especially NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, probably the NCAA as well, WNBA, they're all going to be lobbying their congressmen, their senators, their governors, and they're going to be doing everything they possibly can to get Congress to kind of what Goodell is calling lay out a framework for how to initiate legalized sports betting. It's a fancy way of saying, we want our cut. We're going to pay Congress a lot of money to set up rules in which we will get a cut from this.
And that's why you see all the players' unions banding together and saying, yeah, if you get a cut, we want a cut.
Yes.
Of course. So everybody's going to get a cut of all this action.
Not quite. And this is where I'm the most nervous. I think everybody will, Mike, professionally. But collegiately is where I get the most nervous about this, and especially down in the South, where West Virginia and Mississippi and all of those folks are going to hit the ground running there in all of those states, and this is where it gets real dangerous to me. You and I have had this conversation, and I'm not about to get into it now, and I still get haunted and bothered every time when people says these kids get nothing, they get quite a bit. But in this case, if this money starts to get to the levels legally in those places where you think it's going to get to, and you've got 18 to 22-year-olds, Mike, that have already got people and already have agents and already have money managers and always already have runners and have all of this stuff already around them that programs try to build some safeguards around, they're the most
concerned. So you're worried about then the integrity of the game in the South?
Yeah, in college football. Yeah, I think in college football, you know, most importantly, where the money will be the biggest, where the passion is the greatest down in the South, where, yeah, that is, to me, I think there can be some safeguards and restrictions put in place. The NCAA is not built to run these things. We have said this, and we can agree upon that. It was never built to handle the billion-dollar businesses that they've become. And now you start to throw these kind of legalized billions at it, I start to get pretty concerned.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Do you worry about the officials, the integrity of officials as well? Because
I mean, we've never had an official actually. I mean, that's never happened, right? I mean, we've gone generations since there's been any kind of a gambling scandal involving officials fixing a game, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Wait, hold on. Oh, there's something way in the back. I got like an earworm way in the back of my head.
Let me see if I can, you sing it.
Let me see if I can knock it out. Yes. Oh, right. It was the NBA, and it was just a few years ago, and nobody cared. The NBA turned into the WWE, and nobody cared. Let's be very clear about what happened. Less than a decade ago, the NBA proved that it was the WWE with Tim Donaghy, and nobody cared for one second. They were like, oh, yeah, that's just Donaghy, whatever.
Right.
That's Tim. Ah, Timmy. Whatever. So, no, I mean, yes, this will probably change some of the integrity of the game, but I think we as a sports-loving society have already spoken on this one and said we don't care.
Okay.
So, we're in it for the entertainment, and the integrity doesn't mean
so
that
on that side of it, yes, the integrity of the NCAA, the integrity of collegiate sports, the integrity of 18 to 22-year-olds.
The integrity of the NCAA?
Exactly.
Why did you do that with a straight face?
That is my greatest concern. Cute. Now, on the flip side, I think there is a positive. I think there's one sport that could gain more than any other. And I think Mr. Fortenbaugh agreed with me when it came to who could have the biggest benefit with this legalized sports gambling. And I agree with Mr. Fortenbaugh here.
If you've never wagered on golf, I'll be completely honest with you. If you go to a golf event live and you make a wager for a single round on which of the two golfers will have the better round, and then you follow those guys when they're in the same group around the course, it is awesome. I did that for a couple years in Arizona.
Nice.
Or allegedly I did it for a couple years in Arizona when I was covering the Waste Management Open. And I remember following Bubba Watson and Nick Watney around all day. It was like their family members and me following them for 18 holes.
My favorite thing about that is not the allegedly thing. It's that he did it while he was covering the event.
Allegedly.
It wasn't while he was attending it as a fan.
Like allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. While I was covering the event,
yes.
I was betting with somebody else on each hole those guys were at. That's awesome.
Well, you tell me here. You know, this is where it is so fascinating. It's kind of a massive, I don't know. This was one of the topics yesterday that when it came down, it was so massive to me. I didn't really know where to dig out and begin. Like if you want to hit on particular leagues or sports or what it's going to look like, it's outside of our norm a little bit, which is why the go-to guy in the garage are going to join us at 9 to kind of help us, I think, continue to learn and grow, Mike. But yeah, you know, that clip there is also part of the new reality. Media members, unlike maybe in the past where you kind of like, come on, Brent, don't really do it. No, now you're fully on board.
Yeah.
Players can't do it. Players in the leagues, you know, an NFL player is not going to bet on NFL games. I don't think a golfer is going to bet. Yeah, there are going to be restrictions with those players in their particular leagues.
The golfers are going to hate this. They bet on their games all the time.
But it doesn't matter for the media members. Doesn't matter for people at the course. Doesn't matter for all of those players.
I think where what I like most about it is the idea of being able to place a bet inside an arena. I don't think this would change my life significantly. I personally would not bet from home. I wouldn't go to a sports book here in Washington if one became legal. I'm just not that into sports betting. But if I were at a game and I could do something on my phone where I didn't have to get up out of my seat and they had an app for it, and while I was at a Mariner game, I could bet on little things going on in the stadium just to make it more interesting, I would I think I would do that.
Which is a huge part of what Adam Silver advocated for when he first brought it up. The NBA probably more forward-thinking than any other league in this regard. Yep. He talked about the Premier League, and that is a huge reality. Not only can you place a bet on the way to the game there, but tons of people placing bets on their phones
while they're
within
there.
The game.
While I think that's actually pretty cool. All right, quickly, go around the room. End of the day, how do you feel about this? Howdy, you like this or not?
I don't really care at all.
It doesn't affect you. Don't care.
No, it
doesn't mean anything to you.
Like the NBA to you, great.
Howdy, or Kyle, what do you think? End of the day,
Excited. We'll place a bet the first day we leave.
You used to play at Bovada.
That's why he set up a
Bovada. I still have $63 in a bank account in Barbados.
Is that why you
have tried extensively to get back, and you can't do it.
Is that why the P.O. box? You looked into that deal?
Yeah, you know, in Washington, you used to be able to put your own bank account info, and then they said no banks in Washington. Mm. So I looked into a P.O. box in Oregon, or just using my brother's address.
All right. Lydia, end of the day, what do you think of this?
Won't affect me personally and placing bets, but I do love the added element. It's just another way to look at sports. It's another way to measure. It's another stat to discuss sports.
Brock, what do you think?
Yeah, fascinating. Probably a little bit like Lydia, right in between Lydia and Howdy. It's not going to affect my life. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Never have, never will. But yes, one of the most intriguing guys that I have ever been around in my media business was our spotter, and he did it for a living. And the way the algorithms and the stats and the numbers and the formulas was fascinating.
The smart money thing just always kind of bothers me. I know it's out there, but it kind of bugs me. I'll just say this. On one hand, I love it. I love anything that is going to bring more eyes to sports. I mean, Brock, you and I love this game. All five of us love sports so much that we decided to make a career out of this at great risk to ourselves. Mm-hmm. In terms of, it's not an easy career to just jump into. And all five of us decided this is what we wanted to do because we love sports so much. If this makes sports more popular, I love it. I will admit, while I'm not going to sit here and complain about it a lot, I'm not real wild about where the money goes and who profits. Who's going to profit off this? Team owners, players, casinos, website owners. I mean, that's who's going to profit. Most of the money will go to people that don't really need it, and most of the money will come from people who do need it.
Yep.
And while I'm not, look, I don't need to turn this into a redistribution of wealth, and it is their choice. I don't think it should be illegal. I don't have to love it either. Right. I mean, just because something is legal and should be doesn't mean that you have to love the idea of essentially people without money giving their money to people who have it and don't need more of it. So I'm a little torn. I will admit this whole thing tears me up a little bit. We'll talk more with the Graz and Jim Moore, little roundtable on this subject.
Tears you up or
at
tears
9 o'clock, huh?
Tears or tears?
I'm so sad. It's making me cry. No, it tears me up inside.
It sounded like tears.
My innards, they're torn apart.
Great.
All right, coming up next, Coors Light's Blue 42. Brock, I think we know who the first two receiving options are going to be for the Seahawks this year with Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett. Who's third on this team in catches when 2018 ends? That question and more next on Brock and Salk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here we go. This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for three good football questions with Brock every day. We call Coors Light's Blue 42. A lot of text response already, Brock, on who will be the third leading wide receiver for the Seahawks. I'll read you my favorite here in a minute. That'll be question number three. Let's start with question number one, however. We talked to Joel Klatt late last week, who was always great, Fox Sports college football analyst. And I thought some of his comments on Jake Browning were at the very least interesting. What is your take on this?
It's not just throwing the football, but Brock, it's also in the ability to sustain physical games, because I've seen Jake shy away from it. You know, there's a term that I always like, you either answer the bell or you don't as a competitor. And I'm not talking about fist fights, right? I'm just talking about the competitive nature of a game. And sometimes you get into games as a quarterback where it's tough. Third downs are tough. And you've got to answer the bell. And at times, Jake has shied away from that. But he needs to be more of a presence when Washington needs him.
I believe he also said he wanted a little bit more Tom Brady face and a little less Eli Manning face.
Yes. See, when I hear shy away from where I would debate this with Joel, and he'd probably like the good, healthy debate, and I think Joel does an excellent job. When I hear someone shies away, they don't like contact. They're not tough guys. And that's not Jake Browning. Jake Browning is as tough as they come, man. He has taken a beating. That Rutgers game, he took as hard a hit as you're going to ever take in football. I mean, I don't know how that did not dislodge his head from the rest of his body. Like, seriously, it was a bobblehead to the nth degree. He got back up. He'll stand in there. To me, it's not a physical toughness thing, but there is a body language thing. There is I'm a commander-in-chief, and you will never make me flinch. I think, who was it yesterday I was listening to? It was Bob Stelton on Bob Gross and Tom, and he was right. When Cano took that pitch on the hand, baseball players do all they can to never show pain. You never got me, right? Some of Tom Brady's face, you never get me versus Eli or Peyton or some of the bad body language guys at times. Baseball players, I think, exude so much of that. That is where Jake can grow. And I don't think there's any debate about that. And I hope in his senior year with a new coordinator and some new challenges and new command that body language can grow. But it's not a physical toughness thing at all with me. It is a body language thing more than anything
else. All right, question number two. For all the changes the Seahawks have made on their roster heading into this year, what will be the most significant change?
Yeah, fullback, tight end. How about 9 of them? How about 10% of your roster right now as they head into training camp in phase 3 beginning next week? Hopefully we'll be out there watching. 9 of them. 9 tight ends and fullbacks. Nick Vinette, Swoops, Dixon, Disley. Yesterday even they cut Stephen Morris, the quarterback, which is a good move for Mr. Magoo, and signed Clayton Wilson, an undrafted rookie free agent guy. So 5 tight ends, and equally, Mike, Khalid Hill, a fullback tight end out of Michigan, Marcus Martin out of Slippery Rock, Trey Madden, and Jalston Fowler, 5'11", 254 pounds out of Alabama, 4 fullbacks on the roster. What did I clamor for? At all costs last year. Can you just get me a fullback? As Roger wanted a guard, I wanted a fullback. It diversifies your scheme. I think you can do a lot of things out of it, especially if they can catch the ball just a little bit. So that will jump out, I think, more than anything else, is their commitment to fullbacks and tight ends, exactly what they needed to do.
I just can't wait to hear him introduce himself on Monday Night Football by saying, from Slippery Rock. Question number 3, and we got a lot of texts on this one. When it's all said and done, who will be the third leading receiver for the Seahawks?
Who will be the third leading? This sounds like a conversation maybe we should have with the audience at some point. For me, I'm going to put my money on Amara Darboh. I think it'll be Doug, I think it'll be Tyler, and I think it'll be Amara Darboh that will be the third leading receiver.
So not one of the running backs or tight ends?
I would love to see a running back right there, third or fourth. I was almost going to say Chris Carson. I was almost going to say Rashad Penny. I was almost going to say one of those running backs. They will vie for it, but it will be in the best interest for this team moving forward if it's Amara Darboh.
It's funny you bring that up. That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. I was thinking about the Seahawks screen game in the shower the other day. Not really sure why.
Okay.
But I was in the shower and I was thinking about the Seahawks and their issues with running screens and how you've talked about that a few times.
Yeah.
Is it difficult for many teams with mobile quarterbacks to run screens? And my theory, my hypothesis was that because teams have to respect Russell's speed, they don't crash towards the quarterback as hard as some others do.
Correct.
And because of that, you can't fool them on the screen as well, because in the back of their mind, they're already worried about him escaping.
So they don't come
all the way and get fooled by the screen.
Yes.
Somebody's always sort of back.
Yeah. I think a lot of that's fair, but the biggest challenge is the Seahawks have had this protection called jailbreak. It's called jailbreak protection, which has been the majority of their protections.
True.
So I think that throws a lot of that for a loop, and these D linemen love nothing more than to get home and hammer. No, but I think it does. There's some reason to that. There's some logic to it.
But maybe they'll never be great at screens.
The protection has been so bad that it's just been even hard to set up.
Who's great at, like, Tom Brady's great at throwing screens. He's immobile, right? I think when I think of screens, I often think of a lot of the immobile quarterbacks in the game as opposed to some of the more mobile ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. So I'm sure somebody could disprove that in some way. If you feel like doing the research, feel free to let us know. All right. That's Coors Light's Blue 42 today. Mariners back home take on the Rangers at 7:10 tonight. Pre-game show will get underway at 6 o'clock here on 7:10 ESPN Seattle. We'll talk a little baseball next with John Morosi. He'll join us coming up. Brock and Salk.